Let's begin this morning with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being here. We thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and for your magnificent love for us and the plan of salvation that comes out of your sovereign will, your great omniscience from eternity past. And Father, we thank you for your wonderful grace to us this morning. It's the reason we're here. Father, may we be edified and encouraged and where necessary, corrected and reproved and equipped, Father, for the good works that you have for us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being here. And we, this morning, are going to be looking at continuing our study of the names of God. We have this wonderful one that encompasses so many things and is such a theme of Scripture, and that is the Word of God, as it is applied most specifically to the Lord Jesus Christ. And before we even find this phrase, the Word of God, we're going to have to do some background study to find out how God laid out the plan of how this would come about and how he purposed that it would come about through the means that he established. And so we're going to begin in Exodus chapter 19. And there we're going to begin in verse 16. So here we are. The Jews have come out of Egypt, and Moses is, of course, leading them. And it has come the day when God is going to reveal his law to Israel. And the events of that day, purposed and orchestrated by God, are some of the most terrifying events that have probably ever occurred on the face of the earth. And so we pick it up in verse 16. So it came about on the third day, when it was morning, that there were thunder and lightning flashes and a thick cloud upon the mountain and a very loud trumpet sound, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. I don't know. I think it's challenging to place our minds and try to get back in our minds to what Moses and the people of Israel were experiencing on this day. But I've always thought about when God says it was a loud trumpet sound, I imagine that was a overwhelming sound that was coming into the people's ears. And it says, all the people who were in the camp trembled, and Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now, Mount Sinai was all in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked violently. When the sound of the trumpet, listen to this, when the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, what was already a loud sound, Moses spoke, and God answered him with thunder. And the Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. I can imagine what the people were thinking when God called Moses to come up into this terrifying situation. And then as God's elected leader, he obediently went up. And so now let's go from there to Exodus chapter 20. We find this given as a further account of what's going on. So Exodus 20 and verse 18. It says, and all the people perceived the thunder and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. Now here's the key for our study today. Then they said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself, and we will listen. But let not God speak to us, lest we die." And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come in order to test you, and in order that you may fear him." Let me reread that. "And in order that the fear of him may remain with you, so that you may not sin." So the people stood at a distance while Moses approached the thick cloud where God was. And so we have added here to what we've already looked at, that the people had a request. And the request was, they're saying, this is too terrifying. This could kill us. And so we don't want to have to listen to God directly anymore. But in essence, you hear from God what he wants us to know, and then you relate it to us. And so that's the foundation, the beginning of this concept of the Word of God as we're looking at it this morning. And so then, now we're going to go 40 years later. So the Jews have come through the wilderness, and they're poised to enter into the promised land. Moses is going to die shortly, and Joshua is going to lead them, take them across the Jordan, and they'll set up there in Jericho or around Jericho, and the campaign will begin as God is going to give them the land that he has promised to them. And so Deuteronomy chapter 18, we're going to begin this in verse 14, Deuteronomy 18:14. So Moses is speaking to them. Let me drop back to verse 9 and give us a little bit better background. So he's speaking to them, and he says, "When you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire," that's child sacrifice, "one who uses divination, one who practices witchcraft, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who casts a spell, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord. And because of these detestable things, the Lord your God will drive them out before you." Those seven nations that are going to be disinherited, so to speak, by the God giving their land to Israel. "You shall be blameless before the Lord your God for those nations which you shall dispossess. Listen to those." Make note of that word, listen. Here's the problem with those people. They listen to those who practice witchcraft and to diviners, but as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do so. So the question that's going to be answered is, what should we listen to? So he says this, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me," Moses speaking, "the Lord your God will raise up a prophet like me from among you, from your countrymen. You shall listen to him. This is according to all that you asked of the Lord." Now he takes them back 40 years previous. "This is according to all that you asked of the Lord your God in Horeb on the day of the assembly, saying, 'Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God. Let me not see this great fire anymore, lest I die.' And the Lord said to me, 'They have spoken well. I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. So now let's go from the Old Testament into the New. Let's go to the book of Acts. And there in the book of Acts, we want to come to the third chapter. And the background here is the healing of the lame beggar. So let's come to verse 1. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. Now, remember, this is after the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. The day of Pentecost has already occurred. The Holy Spirit has been poured out on the believers in a way that has not happened before. And so here's Peter and John in this new situation, going up to the temple to pray. And it says this in verse 2, and a certain man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. And Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze upon him and said, look at us. And he began to give them attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk. And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. And with a leap, he stood upright and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate, the gate of the temple, to beg alms, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And while he was clinging to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them at the so-called portico of Solomon, full of amazement. Okay, so Peter now takes them back over what's the foundation for the healing. How did this happen? In whose name has this occurred? And so he has this to say in verse 12. And when Peter saw this, he replied to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you gaze at us as if by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, the one whom you delivered up and disowned in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, but put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact to which we are witnesses. And on the basis of faith in his name, in the name of Jesus, which has strengthened this man whom you see and know, and the faith which comes through him, has given him this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, just as your fathers did also, but the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ should suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and return, that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus the Christ appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of restoration of all things which God spoke by the mouth of the holy prophets from ancient time. Now notice, here we are. Moses said, takes him all the way back to where we started. Moses said, the Lord God shall raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. To him you shall give heed in everything that he says to you. Give heed is a reference to the words we saw in the there in the Old Testament passage. Listen. Listen, we use those almost interchangeably. Give heed, listen, pay attention. A father or a mother can say to a son or a daughter when they're dealing with them, listen to me, in the attempt to persuade them to be doing what they're supposed to be doing. And then he continues on, and it shall be that every soul that does not heed that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Okay. Also, in not as thorough a way, but approaching it, we find Stephen, just before he's going to be stoned to death in Acts chapter 7, and he makes reference to the fact that this one, this Jesus, is the one that Moses spoke of. He's the prophet that has been raised up. So let's go to Acts chapter 7 and verse 37. As he's going through this wonderful, elaborate account of Israel, God's dealing with Israel and how they resisted and opposed and disobeyed the different men that God raised up to give his word to them. And so he comes to this point and he says, this is the Moses who said to the sons of Israel, God shall raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. This is the one who was in the congregation in the wilderness together with the angel who was speaking to him on Mount Sinai, speaking of, this is Moses, who was with our fathers, and he received living oracles to pass on to you. And our fathers were unwilling to be obedient to him, but repudiated him, and in their hearts turned back to Egypt, saying to Aaron, make for us gods who will go before us, for this Moses who led us out of the land of Egypt. We do not know what happened to him while he was up on the mountain. And then come all the way down to the end of the chapter, and in verses close to the end, verses 52 and 53, he says this, which one of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who had previously announced the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become. You who received the law as ordained by angels and yet did not keep it. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the quick and they began gnashing their teeth at him. It was so incensed over his words. But being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And that was just evidently moments before they took his life for speaking the truth. And they just proved what he just said. You rejected all these people that came before. You rejected the one that promised God promised Moses and the people that he will raise up a prophet like Moses. And now they have put him to death. Quite a picture. So let's come next to finally where we start to grapple with these words, the Word of God. John chapter 1 and verse 1. So John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is a person. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him. Clear that as God, he's the creator of all things. This is speaking, of course, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And then let's come down in that chapter to that wonderful 14th verse. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, John says. And we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. How do we learn truth? How do we see grace? We see them through the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only the words, but the life. He is the living Word of God. And so we come to verse 17. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. And that explanation, that explaining is done through words. And so notice how Jesus Christ emphasizes this. Let's go next to John chapter 8 and verse 24. Speaking to the Jews here, and he says, I said therefore to you that you shall die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am, that phrase we've been studying, ego eimi, that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And so they were saying to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, what have I been saying to you from the beginning? I have many things to speak and to judge concerning you. But he who sent me is true. Remember, he's the one that spoke truth. And the things which I heard from him, these I speak to the world. They did not realize that he was speaking to them about the Father. Jesus therefore said, when you lift up the Son of Man, looking forward to the cross, then you will know that I am he. And now here's these words. And I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. As he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. Now, as we go to look to the future, let's go to Revelation chapter 19, where we have the second advent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to come down to verse 11. John, who is writing down all these things that he is seeing, he says this, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat upon it is called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. And his eyes are a flame of fire, and upon his head are many diadems or crowns. Now get this. And he has a name written upon him which no one knows except himself. and he's clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And that just reminds me, you know, that you look, go back and you study the life of Joseph and what a tremendous picture he was of so many aspects of the Lord Jesus Christ. The picture of the sacrifice and just so many things, hated by his brothers and kind of a picture of being killed. And what did they do? To show that he had been supposedly killed, they took his robe and slaughtered, I believe it was a goat, and dipped that, put his coat of many colors in blood so that his father was convinced that he had been killed. But it says here he's clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and here that blood certainly is a reference to his own blood that he shed on the cross for us. But then these words, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in, which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword. We know that that sword is a representation of his word, so that with it he may smite the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Powerful, powerful passage. And then let's go first to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Verse 12. So here we are in the upper room, Jesus with his disciples, and he promises them this: I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. It's an interesting statement. But what's going to make the difference? The giving of the Holy Spirit in a very different way on the day of Pentecost, where every believer will be permanently indwelt by the Holy Spirit with the potential of walking and being filled, walking in the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you unto all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, familiar phrase there now, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. And so that maybe draws our attention to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. It says this. This is the armor, which we studied a while back. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so here's the Spirit with the sword of the Spirit. And we know from the passage that we just looked at in John that the word that the Spirit is sharing with us is the word of the Father, the word of the Son, to us. And if we line that all up with 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, this chapter ends up with these words: for who has known, these words directed to the saints at Corinth, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You know, have you ever thought about this? Don't you use words in your thinking? We have the mind of Christ, and really we want our hearts to be renewed so that we get rid of the faulty thinking that we all, when we're born again, we all bring with us: ideas, opinions, attitudes, all kinds of things that God wants to renew our minds, and that renewing should bring us to conformity with the Lord Jesus Christ, and through his word to have the mind of Christ operative in our lives. Let's go next to Hebrews chapter 1. Just such a beautiful passage. We've looked at it many times. What a thundering beauty of these words. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers, think of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways. I love that phrase. All the different ways. We have so many questions as we read through. Was this in a dream? How did this prophet get these words? Were they audible words? Were they, how did he get them? Did an angel come and reveal them? Sometimes we're told, not always to our satisfaction. We always have so many questions. But at any rate, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers, in the prophets, in many portions, and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son. And then I just want to bring that full circle. Spoken to us through what? Through the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the Word of God, and he is the one who has spoken to us. And it's his mind in the scriptures that have revealed to us, and his wonderful word spoken to us. He is the Word of God, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance or the shining forth of his glory, the exact representation of his nature. Like in the upper room, it says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why? Because he's the exact representation of the nature and the glory of the Father. And he upholds all things by the word of his power. What a great thing to realize when the whole world's in an uproar about what they call climate change and all these other things that they're so concerned about. And the believer knows he upholds all things by the word of his power, by the unlimited omnipotence that is his. He holds it all together. All the atoms, all the tides and the gravity and all of these forces that we know something of, but so little of, really, and how he does it all. And he's doing it all the time. Okay, let me reread that. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Okay, then let's go all the way back now. I hope that this has come together. Deuteronomy chapter 18. And verse 18. So we're going all the way back to where we were. And I want to read that again. Now that we have looked and come to the New Testament, where Jesus Christ is clearly called, his name is the Word of God, we come to these words. I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen. This is God's promise. Through Moses, I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen. Jesus Christ was a Jew born in the tribe of Judah, from the town, born in the town of Bethlehem. And he says, like you, he's going to be a leader. And then he says this, and I will put my words in his mouth. And so when Jesus comes, he says, I don't speak on my own initiative. I don't do these things on my initiative. Whatever the Father tells me, that's what I speak. And certainly everything that he does, he's being led by the Father to do, so that he ends up being the exact representation of the Father. And so it says, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command them. And it shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words, you think of that generation that put him on the cross, and it shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. So that brings us full circle here in this look at our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Word of God. So let's close in prayer. Father, how we thank you for these things and for our wonderful Savior, who is the Word of God. And Father, what a treasure we have to have his mind revealed by the Holy Spirit in Scripture at our disposal, Father, to know it, to learn it, to memorize it, to be ordered by what it says. What a blessing this is, Father. And may we live out this blessing in our lives, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.